What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Seven o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City sports. Be sure to check us out on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, all those things. Like and subscribe. You can see this mustache coming in all nice and dirty. I'm going for like the fat Riley Green look. Seen Riley Green?
Oh yeah,
that guy. That's a specimen of a man. The original duck caller. Saw him live, and I was like, "What's this linebacker doing up here singing country music?" What a lineup that was. It was at Arrowhead, and it was Riley Green, Laney Wilson, and then Luke.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Combs.
Ooh. Ooh, I'm going to go see Luke Combs in Ames this year.
It's going to be awesome.
And you are?
Yeah, we're going to see Morgan Wallen on Friday in Minneapolis, and then Saturday, Luke Combs in Ames. So
That's sick. Luke Combs will blow Morgan Wallen out of the water.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm really excited. Like, I really like Luke Combs a lot.
Me too.
I've been listening to a lot of him lately, and you know he's playing at Iowa State, which is kind of cool. It's early April, so maybe it's an outdoor concert. So I mean, maybe a little cold. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, you'll be plenty warm with Fireball, country music.
You know, me and the two kids and my wife, we're gonna up to Minneapolis on Friday. Morgan Wallen at the U.S. Bank Stadium,
dude.
And then on the way back, you got to go through Lames anyway. So we're gonna stop there and see Luke Combs. It's gonna be a cool weekend. Looking forward to that. But speaking of Lames, this is the tweet of the year, I think, that I found. Maybe the tweet of the decade. Maybe the tweet of all time. It comes from top-tier Iowa State. It says, I'm tired of being Kansas' Super Bowl. Every year, this is the one game they've circled on their calendar. Iowa State is focused on winning championships. Kansas is focused on beating Iowa State.
That's cute.
I mean, that may be an all-timer right there from our friends up in Lames, Iowa, who just got housed by 20. That's their, you know, that's like us talking about Buffalo being the Super Bowl every year. Our team goes on and wins championships, right? That's what
it happens all the time.
You know, you look at Iowa State, you've never made the Final Four, if I'm mistaken, right? And so you're going to sit there and say you're focused on winning championships when you haven't even reached the final weekend of the college basketball season ever. And so, I mean, if you're focused on winning championships of the Big 12 variety, okay, maybe you win a tournament here or there or something like that and whatnot. But I mean, that may be the most, you know, backwards thinking tweet that I think I've ever seen. Kansas needed a win. They're 1-2 in conference play. They should be 0-3 at this point in conference play. They needed a win. Iowa State didn't show up. That dude's shirt was on as tight as possibly could be on the sidelines, and you got your ass kicked. And you're like, well, it's Kansas' Super Bowl every year as a team that hoists national championships, and Iowa State can't even make the Final Four. Up yours, Iowa State.
I wonder if Gold's back in on Kansas, because he was a little bit distraught yesterday. He's like, yeah, I just don't know if it's their season. It's tough. It's just a tough season. They're back, baby.
25 wins, top 4 seed. I mean, it's what it's going to be.
I don't know why. I wish I would have been on yesterday. I don't know why people were freaking out. I really don't.
Because they were 1-2 in conference play. It's easier to freak out and have a freak out than it is to say everything's going to be okay. It's going to be just fine. You got Bill F himself.
This comes from the 515. You should know that area.
Yeah, that's Iowa.
Yeah, he says, I went to Iowa State, lived in Ames for 16 years, and Iowa State fan to the end. That tweet is ridiculous. Says, if anything, Kansas is our Super Bowl. Come on, guys, just accept the loss. Go Cyclones.
Yeah.
Nice.
So last time there was renovation at Coffin Stadium, it was because of a cyclone. Remember the Port-a-John flying across the camera that we saw? And then now we found out yesterday they're going to move the fences in, kind of right and left field power alley-ish. Uh-huh. I feel bad for Eric Hosmer today because, boy, would he love that when he was here. One of the guys I heard Vern on yesterday with Cody and Gold, and Vern was talking about these older athletes that were here in Kansas
City. Somebody else had Vern on other than us?
That's right. Oh. And Hosmer, Gordo, Moose, all those guys is what Vern had said had been advocating for this for years. As fans, we have been saying, bring them in. Because what's the one thing we always hear? Well, Kauffman's just a tough place to hit. Well, everybody else seems to hit home runs here. How come we don't?
Yeah.
And so they move the fences in. They're going to create some seats behind those walls. They're going to lower the walls and bring in the walls. Advantage hitting for the Kansas City Royals.
Well, for the Royals, but also advantage hitting everybody else that's coming in, too. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, like, everybody else was hitting home runs in this ballpark but us. And so that tells me that's not necessarily a ballpark problem. This ballpark actually plays neutral. I did a lot of, like, deep diving on AI, and then even Vinny said it yesterday. Okay, now we're a neutral ballpark. But when you look at, you know, what this is going to do, you know, for everybody, it's going to bring more offense. And more offense is excitement for a lot of people, right? Obviously, you want more offense in every sport. The NFL has got all their, you know, things kind of, you know, hyped up to benefit the offense. And so that's what, you know, the Royals are going to do. They're going to try to benefit the offense. There is that flip side, though, too. You better make sure, you know, that your pitchers are able to keep it in the ballpark. And they're at a spot right now where they've got a great rotation, maybe the best rotation that they've had since the 80s, right? I don't think that's an argument that anybody would fight you on. The
15 rotation, man, 14 was good.
Now, the rotation wasn't that good. The bullpen was outstanding. The rotation was okay, got you to the bullpen. This rotation, like, you can win a championship with this rotation. I don't think you could have won a championship just with the rotation and not have everything else in 14 and 15. I think this is a championship, you know, type of rotation. So I think it's the best rotation that they've had in a very long time. So it's going to be up to them to keep the ball in the ballpark. The good news is they do give up a lot of fly balls, as I was looking and doing my research on Gemini yesterday for all of this to get information, but they give up soft fly balls. So they don't think it's going to really affect them all that much because of the softness of the nature of the fly balls and whatnot, but it should hopefully help with their offense. But I think this is also a white flag of letting us know, as Vern said on Monday, the additions are pretty much done for the Kansas City Royals, and they're not able to go out there and add that outfield bat so far that they've wanted to add. They're one of the five least spending teams in free agency so far this season, and they haven't made that big-time trade that we thought that they were going to go out there and make. They should have brought the fences in a long time ago, I thought. It's always been a deep ballpark for home runs, but it's also been a very, very friendly offensive ballpark for basically all of Major League Baseball over these last couple of years. Because when you look at what this ballpark does, Kauffman Stadium last year, third most triples, fifth most doubles, sixth most runs scored, and then 25th in home runs. That's how that ballpark played. So you've got to tailor your team to your ballpark. Get guys that hit it in the alley, hit it in the gap, hit it on the ground. Stop trying to hit home runs. I think that's a foolish approach to try to go out there and hit home runs because of how big this ballpark has been. And that's the analytics that we're in right now. Everybody wants to hit the ball over the wall. But, I mean, go for the gap, you know, go for the doubles, go for the triples, build your team around the ballpark that you have. And so that's where the Royals are going to be successful. It's not still mashing the ball over the fence. It is still hitting that ball in the gap and playing and creating a team that, you know, factors in and plays well at your ballpark. You have to build your team based on your park.
Because what Kyle Isbell's hit in the ALDS against the Yankees would have been a home run, the one that Soto caught with his back to the wall. Mm. That's now a home run. Yeah. Royals win that game.
Right. They're saying that's about 3 to 4 wins per year. And that puts you in the playoffs last year.
Huge, yeah.
But what does that do for the other team, I wonder, as well? Like, does it have a zero impact, is what I'm saying, you know?
Like, does it cancel out?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, opponents hit 81 home runs in Kauffman last year.
Royals 81 hit, home runs?
Yeah, Royals hit 70.
Oh, someone in the text line said only 15 home runs were hit last year by teams coming into Kauffman Stadium.
No.
Okay.
That is not true. No. That's insane.
That's 15 home runs. I mean, we'd be talking about that all the time.
Best defense of all time.
There was only 15 home runs from opponents at Kauffman Stadium last year from the 816.
Yeah, that is
there were
false.
15 home runs from the opponents in one weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I think I saw 15 in one series last year.
Yeah, that is false. Yeah. Just real quick, to play devil's advocate, Bob, wouldn't this team kind of, since this team's built right now, like, they can hit home runs, and as you mentioned, maybe the best lineup and bullpen the Royals have ever had, doesn't that kind of lead to the fact that, okay, they can hit home runs,
best rotation they've ever had,
wouldn't that kind of add up, okay, well, we can hit home runs, we can score, our pitchers can stop others from hitting those home runs, so they're kind of playing to their ballpark, or they're kind of forming their ballpark to their roster right now.
That's what they're kind of doing right now. But, you know, you have to make it go out there and work. I mean, it's cool that they're moving them in. I hope we see more home runs. I hope we get more fireworks. I hope it goes to, you know, to more wins, you know, for this organization. And it should. I mean, it really should. But you also wonder what is the flip side of this as well? Are other teams now all of a sudden going to be better? But for years, we've always saw other teams hit home runs at Kauffman Stadium and put them in the fountains, and the Royals never have been able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been an organizational you know, disease for the better part of 30 years. They just never have had that power guy. And now all of a sudden they're doing the right thing by moving the fences. And this should have been done years ago with this organization. They did it for 1 year when Allard was the GM, and they quickly moved them back because you had Chris George and Dan Reichert on the mound that were giving up moonshots to the FCA building all day.
Mm. That's what your guy said on his show last night. After hours said it. Oh, well, then have it, take it up with Logan Weber. Because that's not an accurate number. It was 81 home runs. 82? 81 home runs. Maybe it's a psychological thing. I don't know. Maybe that's like a psychological thing for the hitters, too. Like, hey, the walls are in shorter. Maybe it comes natural. I don't know. But, I mean, you have power in this lineup. At least from what I know. Carter Jensen's got power. Caglione. Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino. Max said he misspoke, but he said the best roster or best lineup. This could be.
If
all the cylinders work the way they're supposed to work, and Salvador Perez is your seventh best hitter in this lineup, that's pretty insane.
Ooh. Visitors hit 81 home runs last year.
That's what Max said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Mac is right. I'm going back and looking at it. Yeah, you know, double checking because the text line wants to argue with you.
Yes, thank you. Won a game.
My sources tell me that the reason they moved the walls is because Kauffman Stadium's not going to move.
Well, you may be right about this point in time.
Yeah. We'll talk about that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're over Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that sucks.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
You got to love the people that you work for. Most of them. Don't forget, Royals Rally coming up. Josh Vernier will be there doing the show live from Royals Rally. And then he also is back on Thursday night, baby. The Hot Stove Show at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. You're going to want to listen. Chiefs have nothing to talk about. The Royals have a ton. Vern will give you all the dimension talk of the walls, the statistics of what changes, the players that are going to be on this roster, maybe, just maybe, we get to hear what the new season's tagline will be. Last year, it was the sophomore album. Also, don't forget, we are doing a Chiefs off-season show. It'll be Tuesday on February 10th. It'll be Bob, myself, Cody, Alex, and C-Dot all in studio from 9 a.m. to 11. That, again, is on February 10th, where we will do a Chiefs offseason show. A lot to talk about when it comes to what the offseason can be for the Kansas City Chiefs. Uh-huh. And, you know, all of us hot air balloons here have something to say about that. Vern, again, tomorrow night, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, talking all things Royals with the Hot Stove Show, returning to the airwaves on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah,
that's ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Hello. Happy Wednesday.
Are we sure that's not the kid who wanted the coordinator fired in Philadelphia?
Same kid.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
So I want to read this text out loud from my stepmother, Mary, who is a saint, and my dad, who is a worrywart every year in sports. But first, the question, Fesco and Dusty poll question. As a Chiefs fan, who are you rooting for on Saturday? Bills or the Broncos? 82.4% say the Bills.
Good.
17.6% say the Broncos. My stepmother texted me this morning and says, you should ask your father who he's rooting for.
Ask your father is what my mother
used
to
say. She said last week he said he could never, and I mean ever, root for the Bills. But we both know how he feels about the Broncos. So I asked him last night, and he never would answer. His response finally was, can they both lose?
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, just say thanks,
so
Dad.
So that cues us up for the comments. I hope it goes to 5 OTs and they both are both too beat up and get beat by Houston. We only root for injuries in this game. Come on, David.
All right, come on.
Then the meteor get comment. Bent. No, but seriously, the national Josh Allen love is something I personally don't want to hear. I don't want to hear Allen has overtaken Mahomes as the best. Go Denver. Puke face, puke face, puke face. From Patty Newcomb. Neither. From MJ. How can you not pull for Josh Allen with no Mahomes?
That's pretty easy. I'm not pulling for Josh Allen. I'm just not rooting for Denver.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that, like, you know, you get misheard because we got the final statistic from Logan last night. 15 hits would have been home runs with the new dimensions
for opponents.
For opponents, not 15 home runs were hit.
Yeah,
by
so 15 so, more home
correct.
Runs.
Correct. So there would have been 96, 90, yeah. 96 home
that's
runs.
That's what we don't. We never factor in the other side. It's like a lot of stuff. Like when they go for two early in the game, they never factor in, well, what if we miss this and we don't get this 2-point conversion because we want to make it 14-14 instead of 14-13 or whatever right. it is. And then you're at the end of the game and you're down four instead of down three where a field goal would have won. Like, people don't factor in the other side. I'm glad Logan did. That's good on him.
So where I go back to the Bills-Denver game, I understand the argument if your argument is it was the Chargers in Denver and the winner goes to the AFC Championship game. There I would be like, I'm not rooting for anybody. And they'd be like, well, you have to pick one. I'd be like, no, I hate both teams kind of equally, but I really, really, really hate Denver. There's no denying that. But in this sort of matchup, why not Buffalo? I don't care what Buffalo does after this, because if you take Mac's narrative and Josh Allen wins a ring, then now you have Peyton and Tom in 2026 with mm-hmm. Patrick and Josh. If Drake May wins a Super Bowl, then we get to have that conversation. Is New England back? Are they the better team now in the AFC? Mm-hmm. Can Kansas City do it? Can Drake May catch Patrick Mahomes when it comes to Super Bowl rings? That will be that conversation. I understand that if Josh Allen wins, there's a lot of people in Kansas City be like, well, they're going to say he's better than Mahomes. They're going to say,
of course.
But you know, in your dearest of hearts, that shouldn't matter to you because you know the answer. It's not true. So it shouldn't affect you that much. But one thing I can't stand to see is those effing Broncos in the AFC Championship game in Denver with their fake ass fans, with their fake ass team, with their fake ass coach, with their dumb ass quarterback. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that, because what would you rather hear? Oh, Josh Allen, he might be the same quarterback as Patrick Mahomes. Or Bo Nix might have a chance to catch Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl ring.
Kiss my ass.
I don't want to see Denver win because I don't care enough about Denver in my life to watch them win. I would much rather see Denver lose. I don't care if it was Houston, if it was New England, anybody but the AFC West. I just cannot stand to see Denver be successful in the playoffs. And I want to see Buffalo win. And it just so happens by happenstance, it's Buffalo who plays them. Go Bills.
It reminds me of really a lot of the NCAA tournament in Kansas fans. When the Kansas used to get knocked out back when it was like the Big 12 and you knew who was in your league, Kansas fans always used to be like, well, I'm going to go root for Iowa State now the rest of the way because it's good for the league. No, you don't root for your rival. You don't root for somebody you compete against that you're trying to do better than a couple of times a year. And so on no planet should anybody be rooting for the Denver Broncos, regardless of what they say about Josh Allen. This is the way the media cycle works. It doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes isn't here. So now they've got an opportunity to empty their arsenal and go through all of the topics that they haven't been able to use for the last 7 years, because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were the answer to every lame question that 18 people sitting around a tiny desk are screaming about this morning on ESPN or Fox or whatever the station is that you're watching.
So speaking of stadiums, are they just going to stay at Truman Sports Complex and turn it all into that?
Who, the Royals, you mean? Yeah, well, the Chiefs we know aren't, obviously, but the Royals, I mean, at this point in time, from what I've been hearing, it may be their best effort is just to stay right now at Kauffman Stadium. I talked to somebody in the state of Missouri yesterday, and I said, what's going on with this? What do the Royals want? And the response back was, all things that no one wants to give them. And I said, what do you mean? Right now, from what I'm being told by people in the state of Missouri, the Royals want more public money right now from the state of Missouri than they're currently getting. And Missouri's looking at them and going, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, right? And the Kansas thing, we know it is still kind of on the table out there. This is not good, guys. It really isn't, because it seems like now John Sherman may be trying to play one against the other. And when you try to play one against the other, it probably doesn't.
Single. I mean, that's what happened to me.
You said it, not me.
Sorry.
You know, like,
that's just the analogy I went with. Hey, yeah. Are you thinking about like taking the next step? I don't know if I'm really ready. And then she finds out her friends are out the same place you are the next week. And it's like, he's with another girl. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, so who's this other girl? It's a friend. Well, it didn't look like a friend from what my friend said. Well, then she finds out that you were with that, and then you find yourself at your home with just your hand.
Right. No, it's kind of like, I feel like also, too, like, I don't know that everybody's united in this. I feel like, you know, weeks ago, months ago, what it was.
Delta, Southwest, United, nobody's there.
Right. Like, you had somebody purchase land in Kansas, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, if you have somebody in your ownership group or whatever affiliated with the team purchase land in one state, and then you're still trying to negotiate with the, what kind of messaging is that right now? So I don't know if if everybody is on the same page right now in what they're trying to do. But if you're going to the state of Missouri basically saying, you lost the Chiefs, you need us, give us more money than you're currently give us, is from what I've been hearing, that's not a great way to approach things. That's not the best way to do things. And so I just wanted to get done on either side of the state line because I want my team here, because, you know, we keep hearing about Nashville getting a team or Salt Lake City getting a team. That needs to be an expansion team. That doesn't need to be a team from Kansas City that couldn't figure out a way to get a deal done in either state on either side of the state line. So it's time to get this thing put to bed. It's time to announce where they're going, whether it's downtown, whether it's Johnson County, whether it's the Northland, and just get it done somewhere here in Kansas City. Because at the end of the day, we all just want the ball club. I don't care where they're located. I just want them playing here in Kansas City and not saying, well, we couldn't get a deal done here, so now we got to look elsewhere. They've got a great deal with the state of Kansas. Take the bird in hand. It's better than two in the bush.
So would it be out of the possibility that they would just try for the first time in the history of Kansas City to build in the parking lot that they have? Because if the Chiefs are gone, right, I assume that stadium gets dozed.
Yeah, well, yeah, that stadium,
then,
yeah.
And then you would have all that area.
That hasn't been developed in 60
years.
That's
what I'm saying.
It is a terrible location.
It's like believing in a team for the first time in the playoffs going, why have they done it yet? I don't know. Like, can Herbert win a playoff game and not catastrophically fail? Maybe now that he doesn't have Greg Roman, but can the Royals, maybe now that there's not another stadium in there that is what we consider the older brother, for those of you that are listening, which always seems that the Royals are the little brother and Chiefs are big brother, the way things are rooted for and paid attention to, unfortunately. Maybe now that big brother moves out at the age of 65 and you have the whole area, maybe that gives you incentive. Again, I'm just trying to make conversation.
And I will say this. There are three things in real estate that matter. Location, location, location.
Yeah.
That location is terrible. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows how bad
downtown
it is
St.
out
Louis
there.
Downtown St. Louis isn't great either.
No, it is not.
And they built it.
And they built the stadium down there. Downtown Kansas City isn't great either, you know, with all the crime and everything that's going on down there. And people forget about the parade incident that my family was a part of. And we were talking about that the other day, right? That was 2 years ago now. And we're still talking about that.
But like, if dramatic changes happen and new people are in there. Now, again, you can go on the belief of what the past is and color me shocked if it happens, but you could say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know, can't you fool again?
Yeah.
But again, if that were to happen,
I think Nashville's a better option than redoing Kauffman Stadium and staying there. I really do.
I don't like that take.
Yeah, but that's how I feel about that right now. Like, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I feel better. Like, it's a better business decision to go to Nashville than to do anything at that spot where they are right now.
Yeah, I don't like hearing that. If I'm being honest, I would much rather them like rebuild that area, put a village in that area that you could.
It's a terrible area of town, though, dude. Everybody
right now
knows
it.
Yeah, but what's going to change? There's no housing around there. There's no people around there. You know, you're out here where all the people are. You're going to the people. People aren't going to trek out there from, you know, Eastern Jack or Johnson County to go do something at the sports complex in Raytown. They're just not.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get that point. But, I mean, if you build a village there and you build a stadium there that's new and advanced, and you realize that you have something there that you need to protect, you would then hopefully think that they would go around and protect that. I understand that the area isn't the greatest, but still, like, not everyone's living there. It's like they're staying the night there. They might just be going there for a game and a hangout and then going home.
Who's that convenient to, though? Well, like, what group?
Me.
Yeah,
the guy you're talking to. And all
but
the people that live in my area.
But it really isn't convenient
to you. It's 100% convenient for me. I have to drive 12 minutes to the stadium. I know
that's a long drive if you want to go out drinking, though.
I don't drive and drink.
I know.
If I'm not going to, I get an Uber.
But you're very rare.
Okay. But I mean, I think there are more people that are like me in this situation that are listening that think the same things that I'm saying out loud. And I'm trying not to speak for everybody. I speak for a lot of people. I talk to people that do stuff with Surfside that say, man, it's going to be a much longer drive. I hate it because I also know all the back ways into Kauffman Stadium. I know the area, not just necessarily in the area of Kauffman Stadium, but I know that, you know, my house is 12 minutes away. If you live in Blue Springs, it's 20 minutes away. If you live in Green Valley, it's 25 minutes away. If you live in Oak Grove, same sort of distance. And it's just kind of what home is. And unfortunately, like, I like home. I like that area because it is right off the highway. There are side roads that I can get to that lead to that. And I would love them to stay there, and hearing them be the Nashville Royals would break my effing heart.
Yeah, it would. And I understand that would break all of our hearts right now. But the fact of the matter is that this thing has gone on way too long. They have an amazing offer from the state of Kansas, and now they're trying to figure out what they can do in the state of Missouri instead of taking the offer, where in principle, where a lot of people in the state of Kansas, when I was in Topeka, believed that it was a done deal with that team.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's just, and I'm talking about like, you ask what's convenient for me. That's what's convenient for me. And that's what I like. And I don't want them to go anywhere else, because I think that's awesome. But hey, we'll find out more soon on Stadium Talk.
Yeah, midsummer of 25, Dusty, was what we were told.
Yeah.
It's January 26th.
December 26th.
Yeah.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin. All righty. The Jayhawks get it done just as the pressure's mounting. They defeat the Cyclones of Iowa State 84-63 at Allen Fieldhouse. Darren Peterson did play a decent amount, over 20 minutes. He had 27 minutes, 16 points. He was 6-for-15 from the field. Solid game there from what should be a lottery pick in this year's NBA draft. One word on KU.
Normal. That's what KU does. It happens every year. It's been happening for 20-plus years, 23 years now, with Bill Self. People, oh, my God, it's the lull of the season. They're down. They're not going to be any good. Here comes the number two. Yeah, you go out there and you beat them by 20 points last night. Just throttled them from the beginning of the game. Never took your foot off the gas. Beat them by 20. Iowa State, that tight shirt coach, never had an opportunity to win that game last night. Bill Self is, I think, fourth best in NCAA history against top five opponents. Fourth best winning percentage in NCAA history against top five opponents. We saw it on display last night. It's still Bill Self's world, and TJ, shirt tight man, is just living it right now.
My one word is selfish, right? You come with the king, you better not miss. You came in as number two team in the country. You got that Allen Fieldhouse feel, and you got beat by almost 20 points, if not 20 points. Game was over at halftime. Good for them. Equal amount of points throughout their team. I think there were four guys with double-digit points in Melvin Council, along with Darren Peterson. When they play like that, man, they can play good basketball because, again, you ride the guy that is the number one man. You look at Duke, they go through Cameron Boozer. You look at BYU, they go through DeBanza. But there are other guys that seem to step up. What was the narrative with the Knicks when Jalen Brunson wasn't on the court? The team seemed to play a lot better.
Yeah.
When Jalen Brunson's on there, they're like, oh, man, we got to get this guy, 30 points a night. You don't. He can have that every once in a while, but if he has 17 to 20, I'm talking about Darren Peterson, and three or four other guys have 10 to 14, Kansas can roll. That was the team I think a lot of people expected to see from Kansas, and last night I was selfish because I want more of that for this team moving forward.
That last night was exactly what every Kansas fan wanted, but that's what every Kansas fan expects, and rightfully so. I mean, when you have the success that Kansas has had for 100 years, you expect to win every game by 20, regardless of the opponent.
And the gauntlet's coming for Kansas, so that was good to know that you could play a team like that and win, because that's in your bag now. You know you have that, so... The gauntlet is coming for Kansas once we get to about the middle end of January. BYU, Kansas, January 30th at 3 o'clock.
It's almost like when they have their top three player on the court, they win the game. Not
shockingly,
just win the game.
When players matter.
Yeah.
Oh, fire the coach. Yeah. Mason Rudolph was the quarterback.
They're almost beating these top 10 teams without their lottery pick. Oh, wow. He joins back. They
shocker.
Beat them. Yeah, clinic.
Players determine outcomes of games.
Unbelievable. Two decades of success.
It's a player's game. It always has been. Whatever game it is, it's a player's game. It will always come down to the players.
2 decades of success and legacy, and still going to question that guy. It's crazy to me. Pittsburgh, done questioning Mike Tomlin after 19 years. He is out. That was the big news of yesterday. We'll start before we get to the Ravens owner's audio, because I've got a couple of clips there that I want to play from Steve Bisciotti. First, one word on Mike Tomlin.
Stud, do whatever you want, man. Like, I love Mike Tomlin. I hate that the NFL is without Mike Tomlin right now. He's just a tremendous, tremendous coach. He's a tremendous motivator. He's a tremendous leader. I can't wait to see him for a year on television and then see where he ends up. But once you get that TV taste and you get that check from TV and you realize none of what you says matters and it doesn't mean a damn thing and there's no stress, he may never go back to coaching again. And if he doesn't ever go back to coaching again, he had one hell of a run. I love Mike Tomlin, and I am going to miss him dearly. I love that man.
Why don't you marry him?
I wish I could.
Get a room. No, I'm kidding. I think my one word for Mike Tomlin is TV. And my other word would be wait. Got to think, if there's 9 jobs opening this year, there'll be 5 or 6 next year. And you can have your pick. And you could be the Ben Johnson in waiting that he was, where he's like, no, I'm good. I'm all right. Or the magic happens and they just do a wife swap and you get Tomlin in Baltimore and you get Harbaugh in Pittsburgh and we get to sit back and not even have to produce a show. We could just talk about that for 4 hours. But my one word would be wait. I think he'll be great on TV and then he'll find out that Bill Cowher made the right move as well when he left Pittsburgh and said, I'm never doing that again. Because if we're going to get quotes like, if my aunt had a male part, she'd be my uncle.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
You get that on Fox before a game? Locked.
What do you think Gronk would do? I mean, Gronk got so excited yesterday when somebody used 69 yards.
That's funny.
No, but somebody said something on the pregame show about 69 yards, and like 10 seconds later, they showed Gronk. His face was still red. Yeah, I was like, Gronk just in on this, man. It's just, he is who he is, right? And so, so Tomlin's got a year, unless somebody's going to offer a big bounty of a trade, but I don't even know if the number one overall pick this year is worth it, quite frankly. This feels like a draft where you got the number one pick. Who wants it? Kind of like when we had Eric Fisher, you know? Even though he was a great player, they tried to trade that pick, but there wasn't that clear-cut number one. Everybody loves Fernando Mendoza because he's been fun in college football, and it's a great post-game thing, and he's a rah-rah guy. I don't know if that shtick plays in the NFL, man. I really don't.
Yeah, watch out next year for Cincinnati or Washington. Those are my two guesses for Tomlin. Steve Bisciotti was asked about Tomlin when he heard of the news in his press conference.
And at Pittsburgh?
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy sh**, Mike, wouldn't that be awesome?
How about there? One word from Steve Bisciotti reacting to the Tomlin news.
I listened to that yesterday and I stood up and I went, I want him. I want Steve Bisciotti, man. Like, Harbaugh was the coach before Bisciotti bought the team. And the whole story that he told yesterday, because I thought about, you know, firing him, it came to a conclusion. I called him. He was already on his way home, so I just did it over the phone. I didn't want him to have to come back to the office and whatnot. But look, both Pittsburgh and Baltimore probably both need to go their separate ways, you know, at this point in time. Both coaches kind of need to go their separate ways. It's okay to have a break. But I like that out of Steve Bisciotti yesterday. Game recognizing game right there, man. Like, that's what that's all about. And the thick Baltimore accent, so good.
My one word would be wholesome. I mean, that's a moment your franchise hasn't had in 18 years. That's a division that lost 3 coaches, 3 of which should still have their jobs, if you want to say so. And yet the one guy that still has his job is the guy that shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe it's a hot take. But I woke up in a new Bisciotti, right? Like, that guy, I had no idea who that guy was until yesterday. And I was like, Bob, I was like, that's the quote of the year. I know we're only 14 days. We had the sunrise of the year yesterday. Mm-hmm. We had the quote of the year in sports yesterday.
Didn't we get the quote of the year early last year, too? There was something that popped really early last year. I forget what it was now.
Well, was it after the Super Bowl or after the draft where Dan Orlovsky said that Jalen Hurts and Bill Bell and
That's right. It was the start of the season.
Yeah, that was
season.
Great.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yesterday was like one of those moments where like any other stick in the mud would have been like, we're not talking about that today, okay? And he just drops are you serious? Wouldn't that be awesome? You're like, dude, that was awesome because it was me. That's how I would have responded.
Yeah, I think we all would have responded. You're up there giving a press conference about this legendary coach that you just had to let go. It's a sad day. Like, it wasn't easy. And then, hey, Coach, or Mr. Bisciotti, whatever your name is, Steve, Mike Tomlin just quit at Pittsburgh. Is he what?
Holy, that'd be awesome.
And then Brooke Pryor just said that's not the time to give that question.
Bisciotti was asked about Harbaugh and if he'd still be there if that kick went in.
If Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is John Harbaugh still here coaching this team?
For a week.
For a week. Okay.
That's great.
It's honesty. What a great answer. Like, and that's the right answer. And that's the right answer. Once you've made up your mind as the owner that it's time to move on, or in a relationship, you've dated people and whatnot, and you know, whatever relationships it is, job, life, whatever, you get to the end and you're just like, it's time to move on. It's really a great time for me to move on and do something different. And that's kind of where they were. And you know, it's okay to have that. After 18 years in the NFL, how many coaches has John Harbaugh seen come and go in the NFL in his 18 years. I bet you the number's well over 100. It has to be, right? Because every team has changed coaches. Probably.
No, hell. It has to be.
I mean, how many coaches have the Chiefs had since John Harbaugh? Obviously, Andy, Romeo, Haley, Herm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Herm was here, what, until 09?
Yeah.
And Harbaugh's been there since 08.
So the Chiefs alone have had four coaches, and their guy's been tenured for 13 years.
And Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in all that time. either way, coming up next, all things not sports. Sorry. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are the modern-day Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Ooh.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
We are back on 96.5 The Fan, final segment of the 7 o'clock hour. I told you it's not sports related. It's not food related either, so all of you people out there. Yeah.
I apologize in advance to the stream. You cannot hear the music we're playing.
No. That's fine. That's called rights.
I'll do it for them. I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand.
All okay. right. All right.
Was that good? Did I sound like John?
Why don't you go to Nashville?
I could.
You could make it.
I could make it in Nashville. Yeah, absolutely. Pack my bags and go.
Hell yeah.
A lot of people out there go, oh, damn right, he ought to go to Nashville. Tired of his ass. BBL stinky.
There's this guy named Johnny. He was like Paul Bunyan.
Let me tell you, Fesco, you need to go to Tennessee. Your act's wearing thin.
I was kind of wanting something the other day. Mm-hmm. You got any biscuits for sale in there? Mm-hmm. What you got in there is good to eat. French fried potatoes? How much you want for them? Mm-hmm. I reckon I'll have me some of the big ones.
Heck yeah. Great movie. You should check it out. Sling Blade, Billy Bob Thornton.
You know,
directed and produced.
Manager of the Twins back in the day, Ron Gardenhire. Remember him? Remember Ron Gardenhire, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wichita guy. And so he was they stay as aliases in hotels. And you know, and so I'd talk to Gardy. You want to come on the show? I'm like, yeah, just call me at the hotel. Fine. What's your name? Just ask for Carl Slingblade.
That is awesome.
And then I forget, and Spectre, if you're listening, let me know the answer to this question because I need this answer. Josh, if you're out there listening, we interviewed somebody in a band back in the day, and I forget what band it was. And we had to call the hotel and ask for fuzzy balls.
That's amazing.
I forget who the hell it was and what band it was, but like this is back then when nobody had self really. I mean, they were all staying at hotels and whatnot. You had to call and ask for these people. One of them was fuzzy balls.
What would your alter ego be?
Well, it would be Joseph Sweetwood because that's my adult film name, your middle name and the street you lived on, right? Mm. What would your alter ego be?
I don't know. Maybe like Dexter Morgan and see if anybody picked up on it.
That's a good one.
I mean,
Mac, what would you be?
I mean, one time I said I was Ron Mayhay's son at Power and Light.
Ron Mayhay!
My buddy Alex was there, dude, because Joey Gathright was at the bar. Remember, he played for the Royals?
Ron Mayhay!
I said I was Ron Mayhay's son to get a free beer, and it worked.
Did anybody even know who that was?
Said he was a Royals pitcher. Joey Gathright knew who he was, and that's who bought me the beer. I was like, Joey, what's up, man? Because he was a Royals player, and I was still young. I was like 21 going to Power and Light. And he's like, who are you? I was like, oh, Ron Mayhay is my dad. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, what are you drinking? I was like, no.
Yeah. Right. Because you threw out Ron. How did Ron? I'm asking
maybe
you.
Maybe he pitched that day.
I shouldn't ask you because your brain is a mysterious place. But
it very much is.
But there's so much going on here right now. Like, you didn't go with somebody that people knew,
too
that was popular, whatever it was. This is a guy, was Gathright on the team at the time?
I hope he was in KC.
Well, he was maybe playing for the T-Bones at that point in time or whatever.
No, he was
hanging
team,
out. He
yeah.
was on the team. And you just said to him, I'm Ron Mayhay's son. And he's That's like, cool, man. Here's a Ron Mayhay.
Ron Mayhay. Check the name.
That's real. That's why I'm just like, it's
no
bizarre.
Similarities. Much better looking man than I am. But yeah, Ron Mayhay.
I'm out of breath.
By the way, awesome. Sling Blade, Dwight Yoakam's in that movie. and plays a very brutal character.
Interesting.
You should just check it out.
All right.
And the kid that plays quarterback for Friday Night Lights, he's like 9 years old in the movie.
Oh, damn. Okay.
He likes the way I talk, and I like the way he talks. I like the way you talk. Mm-hmm. I reckon you got any biscuits in there.
Biscuits and gravy.
He says to bring an ambulance and a hearse. So you found this question on X, and it says, and I quote, if someone offered you $1 million to listen to one album for 48 hours, that's like 2 days, which album would you choose? One album for $1 million for 48 hours. Is there an album that you would choose?
Pearl Jam 10.
Okay. You and my buddy Brian Oxley are best friends.
It's a great album. I mean, there's no skips on that album.
It's funny
right?
that you bring this up, because last night we were having dinner at
Stewie's.
And it
was one of those where it just came to me right away. So that's how you, for all intents and purposes, that's the answer.
So
right?
And I get blamed for this a lot, for being like a slight music snob with our friends. Like somebody will play music, like, next song. Mm-hmm. And I have a record player in my kitchen. And when the guys come over and we're hanging out watching or getting ready to leave, like in 30 minutes, so I'll throw a record on and play it. And one of the records I play, because I don't have to worry about moving the needle, is Rumors. And like, we were sitting there having dinner last night, and he's like, hey man, you know how you talk about Rumors? Because Alive was playing. And he was like, you know how you talk about Rumors, put it on and you don't have to touch it? Like, he said the same thing about 10, and then here we are today talking about the same thing that you're talking about last night. It's just the universe, man. It's just so weird.
This was like always the album we played before football games in high school. Not that we were any good, not that it matters, but it was played all the time. And it's a great album.
And it's a frat boy anthem, Alive.
Yeah.
I'm a D-Kai.
Yeah, right. It's just a great, great, great song. It's a great album. There's no skips on this one. And so, you know, if I had to listen to an album for 48 hours, yeah, Pearl Jam's 10 is where I would. What are you going with?
So I'm going to be weird here. I'd either go with the Jurassic Park soundtrack.
Okay.
Or I'd go with the Gladiator soundtrack. Not a whole lot of words, peaceful music.
Because you're thinking about 48 straight hours.
I could pop in and out of sleep.
Yes, yes.
It's in my ears. It's entertaining. I could listen to it on my walks. I could listen to it in my car. I wouldn't worry about it. Like, there are great albums out there that have 10 to 11 songs out of 14 that are good, right? But, I mean, there's going to be times where I'm like, man, I got to hear this again for the 15th time today. I don't know if I can take this. Mm-hmm. But if I had to do, like, an actual album that I would listen to, Weezer's Blue Album.
It's a good one. Weezer's Blue Album is a fantastic album, man.
There's not a skip on that. That's also on the vinyl collection, ain't none.
Yeah, that's a good. You know what another good one would be that you mentioned? Jurassic Park. Forrest Gump soundtrack would be an outstanding soundtrack to listen to.
That's a great idea.
That's a dual CD, too. Yeah, it is. Yeah, back in the day, the dual CDs, you know, you had a lot of songs when you got the dual disc set. Max looking at us going, I don't know what you mean.
Oh, you'd open it up and there'd be a middle, then there'd be two different sides on each side where it's disc one, disc two.
Yeah. I remember that.
A lot of texts coming in from friends of ours on our personal text lines. Pink Floyd, The Wall from a friend of ours would like to go with that.
Mac, what would yours be?
Yeah, soundtrack's great. I don't know. I was thinking just something that has diversification. So I went Young the Giant self-titled albums, one of my favorite albums.
That's a good album.
Okay. B-Dub's going with Chronic or Chronic 2001.
Shocker.
I tell you about Chronic.
Yeah.
Getting Back in Black.
Back in Black?
That is a terrible answer in my opinion, but okay.
I mean, that album has like a bunch of big hits for AC/DC, but I mean, to hear that for 48
straight hours.
It's like Mars Attacks in your ear. Guys!
Biggest Blink-182 fan in the world. I don't want to listen to Tom DeLonge's nasally voice for 48 hours.
And you're going to get like the grandpa song, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Driving around, all of a sudden it's like, he rubs his inbroken glass. Billy Joel, The Hits, that's a good one. Dazed and Confused soundtrack, that's a good one. Diamonds and Gasoline, Turnpike Troubadours, fantastic album. Did We Just Become Best Friends? That's a band you all should go see live, as the Turnpike Troubadours, fantastic.
I hear great things about them.
They're insane. Yeah. Good Lord Laurie is a great song. 7 and 7, Pay No Rent. I mean, a lot of songs on that album. Dark Side of the Moon's coming in. Living on the Edge. The Carter Five or Enema of the State. I could listen to Enema of the State for 48 straight hours, 100%. Even though we just talked about Tom. The way they break their album up, where it's like Tom, Mark, both, and they do that shuffle, I could do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
We Don't Need to Whisper, Angels and Airwaves, could do that for 48 hours, 100%. I'm just completely contradicting myself. Incubus, Morning View.
See, the more you think about it, the more you're like, yeah, I could go with that one. Or
Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park.
Because you had mentioned, said this isn't, you don't even think this is Pearl Jam's best. You said Vitalogy.
They just have the three
big ones.
And that
one was fantastic, too.
I mean, does that have Yellow Ledbetter on it, too?
I think so.
Because it's got Jeremy, it's got Better Man, it's got, I think Yellow Ledbetter's on there, but I mean, those are like the popular ones, right? Like, those are the ones everyone, like, Yellow Ledbetter, can't understand a word he's saying except make me fries, and then just rips a guitar solo that's like top 15 of all time.
All right, Vitalogy has Vitalogy has Better Man on it.
And that's it?
Yeah, you're thinking of Versus, Pearl Jam Versus.
Versus.
That has Daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has Elderly Woman Behind the Counter in a Small Town, which is a great song as well. Yeah, Versus is another good one.
A lot
of
people saying Thriller from Michael Jackson is a good one.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a great answer.
And that's a good one.
And Pearl Jam 10, if you want to know the tracks, Once, Even Flow, Alive, Why Go, Black, Jeremy, Oceans, Porch, Garden Deep, Release. Those are your 11 songs on the album itself.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Titled 10, Oceans is really good, too. I like that song a lot. That's kind of a mellow
You should
one.
Listen to their new album.
Is it good?
Yeah, the song, the title song from the album is called Wreckage.
Okay.
Sounds like 90s Pearl.
Oh,
like
really?
Eddie Vedder's got it on Wreckage. Right. Great song. That is, Mac, you said it was going to be My Chemical Romance. That's a good album as well. I'm kidding. Your album was?
Young the Giant self-titled.
Young the Giant self-titled. Yours,
Pearl Jam 10.
Pearl Jam 10, and then mine was a spool of... I would go with probably Rumors, or I would say what I said originally, which is Weezer's Blue Album. Is Young the Giant the one that's... what is that?
My body tells me no.
All right. Yeah.
I want to hold your hand.
I mean, that's the main song. I don't know why that was cringy,
not cringy. I'm just trying to think. That wasn't the song I was thinking of.
I think one more spoon of cough syrup left. And whoa.
It's hard when you sing. It really is. That whoever it is singing. You're like, what's that song that you think? You're like, I don't think so.
Those are their two main songs.
Like, if you played it, there's a riff or something in it that everybody knows.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I was told my album should be Dora the Explorer. So, there you go.
Dora the Explorer?
Why?
That's fine.
Because you wear boots?
Do love some boots.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, we'll dive back into the sports world, which was yesterday's news of Tomlin and a couple of coordinators as well fired in the NFL on 96.5. Tomlin stepped down. I should correct that. And 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.